With the help of the Lord, let us turn together and read from Luke chapter 12. I'd like to begin with God's help from verse 35 to the end. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will him appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said also to the people, When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, There will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence, that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved, we've read the word of God. We've read the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words of our shepherd. And the shepherd has said that his sheep will hear his voice. Have you heard the shepherd's voice? What did he plainly tell you? Beloved, the Lord is coming again. He is coming as a judge. And he will not only judge, but he is interested, and he will be observing what his servants have been doing. And the word that Jesus has spoken to his disciples and to all that would hear it, that we have read together this morning, is an invitation to be ready. To be ready for that day. The last two verses speak to us about the urgency of this readiness. And as Brother Zach led us in prayer, he emphasized, rightly so, that those who are unconverted, there is a call to you, and there is a need for you to prepare and to be ready. And Jesus gives this parable of one with an adversary who is about to be brought to the magistrate. And there is a time when he would bring him to a judge. And if the judgment is against him, he would be taken to the officer, and the officer would cast him into prison. The system of judges and judicial system is very similar today. We see so many people being sued for this and that of the problems. And what they do, rather than trying to go to the judge and waiting till that last minute to see how they will plead and what will happen and if they will be cast to the officer and into prison, they seek to make right. They seek to settle outside of court. They look for one who will be a mediator to make them ready. My friend, those of you who are yet outside the fold of Jesus Christ, those of you who have not committed your life in obedience and faith to his call and are committed to his kingdom, you do have a day appointed where you will see this judge. But the message of the gospel and the word of the shepherd to you, that straying sheep, is to make things right before that day, because he opens up a way of salvation, a way of redemption, a way that you can be forgiven of your sins, so that you can with assurance and confidence face that day when all men will come before the Lord and the books will be opened. Do not delay, but take the offer. Do not push that time of you approaching the Lord to the time when you will be before him and all knees will bow. and judgment will be given. None of us would be able to stand. Save for the grace of God in Jesus Christ, none of us would be able to stand. So make right now. Give diligence, Jesus says. Give diligence that thou mayest be delivered, that you would be saved. Be ready. The Lord is going to return. Repent. Believe the gospel. Humble your heart before the Lord. And be willing to do what he asks so that you can be ready. Many of us have taken that step. Many of us have heard the message of the gospel and our hearts have been pricked that we were not ready and that we need a Savior. That we need Jesus Christ. We've heard the call and we have followed the instruction. And now we are his servants. We are his children. And Jesus has a word for his children to also be ready. It is not enough just to make a start. It is not enough just to have a name. It is not enough to just go through the ordinances of baptism and communion. The Word of God is alive. And the Word of God gives life. And to those that are called by the Word of God, we must be alive, and we must be aware, and we must be active. When we are, there's great blessing. There's great promises that we can claim. And this is what Jesus is talking about. When he says, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord." This is what our shepherd is speaking to us. Let your loins be girded about. Those in Jesus' day would understand what he's talking about when the men would wear these long robes that would be difficult to do hard work in, would be difficult to move around in. And they would need to pull up that robe and tuck it into their belt so that they could have freedom of movement. Not to relax and to enjoy life, but to do work for their life. To be girded about, as the scripture says, that the soldier of the Lord needs to be girded about with truth. A soldier and a worker and a servant needs to be ready to act. We as men of God are being instructed, be ready to act on the instruction that you've been given. You've been taught something. You've been convicted about something. Maybe it was this morning and maybe it was before, but you have not taken action. You're enjoying life too much. The comforts and the pleasures and the ease of life has lulled you to sleep. And you are not awake. Jesus says, let your loins be girded about. Be ready to take action. When Jesus gives the command, be ready to obey. And your light's burning. We, beloved, are children of the day. And yet we live in a world that is dark with sin and corruption. The Word of God is our light. The Word of God gives clarity to what is going on in this world, to what is right and to what is wrong. And Jesus says, let your lights be burning. Do not hide the Word of God away from your heart or away from the situations that you are facing. Allow the Word of God to illuminate your heart, to show you what is right and what is wrong, and face it and deal with it with God's help. Because it's His Word that showed us, and it's His Word that is faithful to be able to deliver us and to give us the will and ability to do of His good pleasure. This is what the Word of God teaches. But the world doesn't do this. They would rather dwell in the darkness. They would rather be comfortable with their excuses for why they choose the life that they live. And this culture and tendency so easily rubs off on me and on you. And Jesus says, you need to be different. You need to take the warning and be ready. You need to be like men that wait for their Lord. What is a man that waits for his Lord? Jesus gives us that perfect example of what that's like. And he gives a picture here. He shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. A man of God is ready to work and is ready to let the Word of God guide him and instruct him so that he can serve others. Isn't that just the exact opposite of what the world says is a good life? Take your ease. Relax. It's just a few minutes of a video here or there. Don't get so uptight. So many other people do these things. They enjoy this kind of entertainment, and they don't get into trouble. Don't worry about what man says will get you into trouble. Be concerned that the Lord is coming. And He is looking for men who are serving one another. He's looking for men that are committed to asking, what can I do in the kingdom of God? How can I help a hurting soul? How can I provide for someone else's need? That's a man that's ready for action. That's the man that Jesus Christ says will be blessed when He returns. That's a man that can take the promises of Jesus Christ and say, I am ready and I'm looking forward for my Lord to come because I know Him so much. He lives in my heart and He affects the decisions that I make. He inspires and motivates the actions that I do. And I don't want that old life anymore. I don't care about the American dream or the European dream of what a good life is. I'm doing as Jesus says earlier in the chapter, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's your first priority? What's your goal? What are you after? In the old days, they might have talked about sailing ships and using a compass to set their course in the direction that they want to go. Today, we use GPS to get where we want to go. And men, for us, we have to set the tone. We have to set the destination. You are the one that's typing in that destination address for your family and for your life. Did you set it right? If the goal and the destination is wrong, it doesn't matter where you're headed, which road you take. And if you save 5 minutes getting there, you'll be lost. If you set your goal and your heart on material possessions and feeding the flesh and feeding the lust of the eyes, unfortunately, the Word of God says that the love of the Father does not abide in us. And that's a warning from the Scripture. That's a warning to be ready. But if the love of God can abide in our hearts because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have a blessing that can say, I don't need anything else. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And again in verse 38, blessed are those servants. Again in verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What a faith will Jesus find when he returns? So the exhortation, brothers, sisters, is to hear the voice of our shepherd that says, let your loins be girded. To know what that means, to be ready for action, to be ready to obey his instruction. Let your lights be burning, and to be ready and be active in service. The exhortation is, these are the things that Jesus Christ has spoken. Take one step in faith in this direction. Take one step in faith in this direction. Commit unto the Lord that his word is true. Obey. You may not be able, or you may see it impossible to give yourself fully. And truly, on our own, it is impossible. But the Lord can do much with a faith that is in him, with a faith that believes Christ's word and makes that commitment, I will take this step of faith toward him and I will not sit on the sidelines of life. I will not fill my life with the pleasures for this flesh. You all know someone who needs help. Go and serve. Go and meet a need. Go and do something and spend for someone who cannot pay you back. Go ahead and try. Go ahead and do it in faith and say, Lord, take this meager gift, this nothing of myself, and do something for thy kingdom. Do something of value, of eternal value. Maybe it's some funds that you can give. Pray that the Lord would use that, that someone would receive it, and that they would be touched that someone else took the time to care and to give. And that they would realize that if God works in his children in this way, this God must be real. and that they could in some small measure be affected by this small material investment. But the goodness that can come out of that is eternal in God's hands. Oh, we can give our money, we can give our things, we can sacrifice. Do it in love. Do it in charity. Put it in the Lord's hands. Do it in faith. He will grant an increase. Give what you have. If you read the first half of this chapter, you will find that that is the command of Jesus Christ. Just go back to our friends to make sure that you don't put the cart before the horse. You hear these instructions about giving, about sharing. What do you have? What do you have that God wants you to give first? You know what it is. You know it's the thing that you have full control over. It's your heart. Don't worry about giving your money. Worry about whether your heart is ready. And God will lead you. God will help you. God will help you to hear the voice of your shepherd so that everything else that needs to fall in place, it'll be there. He's faithful. He's good. He doesn't want us to be surprised on that last day. He wants us to be expecting, looking forward to the Lord's return. He wants us to be serving. I've often read this verse 37 in perhaps two different ways. One, that our Lord, our Savior, when he returns, he's looking for his servants to be watching. And it says, he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And it's potentially a picture of Christ, who is always giving. When he comes to receive his own, and there is this marriage feast of the Lamb, this marriage supper, will he be the one that is serving? He is always serving. That is his nature. But we do well to get to know that nature and to share it. When we have identified with Christ in baptism, we want to make that our life too. And the word says that at the right hand of the Lord, there is abundance of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's where Christ is. The same place where there's sacrifice and service for others and giving up of ourselves and emptying ourselves for the Lord's sake, there's an amazing filling from God that nothing in this world can compare to. So the exhortation, beloved, take a step in this direction of what the Lord is calling us to. In faith. Jesus gives another example of a goodman of the house, a master of the house, someone who is responsible for his household. He says in verse 39, if he knew what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. If you knew that there was something that you needed to be on guard for, if you knew that there was something that could infiltrate and invade your home, would you be awake? Would you be alert? Of course. The spiritual parallel is that our home can be invaded by things. Our heart is to be a home and a residence for the Holy Spirit. It can be invaded by things that cause us not to care, that cause us not to be ready. And our church is a home. We need to have diligence for being watchful for all of these things. What is coming? What values? What hopes? What dreams? What goals are driving and motivating and shaping my life, the values of my children, and the values of our church? There are many things that we can be careful for. The love of money, the allure of technology, the favor of other people. These things all are playing a lullaby to put us to spiritual sleep, to make us not watchful, to make us not hopeful, to make us not servant heart, ready for the Lord to come. So what are the things that we have inadvertently or intentionally allowed to come into our life and to our heart that influence the way we think? Technology is having a way of affecting our attention span and our ability to focus. And we just gobble it up, it seems. We don't put a hedge. We don't say no and not this and not any further than this. This is what it means to be watchful, to recognize the dangers and say, there's lots of danger out there, but I know where it's safe. I know where it's safe when I'm spending my mornings with the Word of God and I'm giving my heart and my attention throughout the day unto the Lord in prayer. When I hear his voice, that I would be glad to go check and see what he wants. Maybe in the same way that when we hear that buzz on our phone, that we're like, oh yes, I get to hear something. Do we care more about what our friends say and what they're doing than hearing the Word of God? Jesus says that the consequences of those decisions, those day-to-day battles, spiritual battles, are making up our readiness. And he cares about how we're occupying our time. He wants us to be faithful and wise stewards, he says in verse 42. To be faithful. To be faithful means to follow through. Follow through to the end. We are often, and I can speak for myself, that I hear a message and I'm convicted and it cuts to the heart. But how many times have I heard it and not girded up my loins and taken at least one step to give the Lord at least some room to start working in my heart and building on that good seed that he's given? Because it's not just the seed falling on the ground. It's not just the seed starting. It's the time and the care and the love of God that he nurtures it till it brings forth fruit. That's what's important. There is a responsibility that each one has. Peter asks, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? Is this just for the disciples or is this for everybody? And Jesus clearly lays out that the parable and the word of God that's preached and taught and comes from Jesus is for everyone who has heard it. They are the ones who are now responsible for it. We've heard the word much. We're responsible for what we know. Everyone is fully responsible for everything that they know. So those who know more are responsible for more. But everybody is fully responsible for everything that they know. And so it's far better to bring these things to the light, to allow the Lord to speak, to allow the Lord to work in our hearts, recognizing that we are undone when the light of the Word comes to us, that we don't meet this standard, but by faith we pursue it. If we are walking in the light, and there's great promise to everyone who would walk in the light, we would have fellowship with one another as we serve one another, and the blood of Christ would cleanse us from all sin. Great and exceeding precious promises. Jesus speaks some challenging verses, verse 49 and 50. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. From this time forward, it's going to be a certain way. The families, the closest bonds that we might have had, will be divided. What can this possibly mean? When James and John asked Jesus, could we call upon fire to come down from heaven and consume the Samaritan city for not being hospitable to the Lord? Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. He's not coming to destroy men's lives. He's come to save them. But the presence of his truth, the presence of his righteousness in the life of one who is committed unto him will bring about a fire and bring about an opposition and a persecution to all those who will live godly. And Jesus was the first to experience that. He was the first to give himself fully upon that cross, this baptism that he would be baptized with, a suffering that was not just a small thing, but completely immersed and overflowed for our sakes. And he says, how I am straitened, how I'm made narrow, I'm thinned out, I'm stretched out by this suffering that is coming. But he gave it to his Father. You know, the command of Jesus stretches us out, and it asks of us far more than we can do. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. That's where you will and I will find the strength that we need. Recognize that Jesus Christ has done so much more for our sake. And we can be participants and have fellowship with his sufferings. There is another fire, a fire in a positive sense. He speaks of this baptism and how he is straightened till it be accomplished. Jesus was straightened. He was narrowed. He was limited in his reach when he was physically upon this earth. But he had promised that the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, would be given after he ascended. After he went through his suffering and death and resurrection from the dead and ascension to the Father, the Spirit came down upon the apostles and it appeared as a cloven fire upon them. Do we want the fire that Jesus is going to bring on the earth? Do we see it as right and good? Are we willing to be partakers of the persecution, to be thought of as strange or different, to be persecuted, to give until it hurts, to sacrifice for someone who is not going to return us back? Do we want the fire of the Holy Spirit to be present in our life, to guide and to comfort, to inspire and to help us and to show that living power from heaven? Do we want that fire that we sing of? May soon thy fire be burning brightly. That love of God that warms hearts that were once dead and cold. That fire that consumes all selfish behavior. That fire is coming from Jesus. That fire is one that he baptizes with. A baptism of fire to purge the dross, to purge the things that don't belong, that weigh us down and make us sleepy. So that we can be men, waiting for the Lord, with our loins girded about and our lights burning. Now is the time. Today is a day. Again, the word of God is shared, and the voice of the shepherd goes out again, as it has many times before. Discern this time. Recognize that it is a time to be prepared. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen. Amen.